Well, we're continuing our series this week and next week on the fruit of the Spirit as we finish up this whole series on the Holy Spirit. And this week, this week we're talking about gentleness. You know, so what's the pastor going to say about gentleness? Well, Michigan won yesterday. Michigan State didn't lose. But they play next week. They have a bye. Can you imagine getting in the Lions locker room and talking about this subject of gentleness? They play tomorrow night. But now, come on, guys, let's be gentle. How does that play? Get the high school football team. All right, guys, today we're gonna do our best, and we want to be gentle. Now, you know, when you think about gentlemen, I think it's good for a man to be a gentleman. It means maybe holding the door for your wife. Steve, do you do that? Do you hold the wife for Angie still? Good for you. He did that when you started dating? Still, all right, okay. I won't ask anybody else because he was right there and I could pick on him. It's easy to do that. He'll never sit there again. Well, we continue from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. That's a great passage. So I want us to read it together. Can we put that up on the screen there, please? All right, we don't have it. I will read it to you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, oh boy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness," and then here it is, "gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Wow, let's pray. Lord, help us today as we look at that word gentleness. Gentleness. Help us to realize that you want us as godly people to be gentle towards those around us. Help us to understand what that means. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you think of synonyms of gentleness, some people think of the word, you know, instead of being gentle, they think of the word maybe that they are meek, or some of the synonyms would be, you know, gentlemen, please start your engines. I kind of like that one. But synonyms would be meekness is one. And you know what meekness rhymes with? Weakness. Meekness and weakness kind of sound like the same words. But this morning, I want us to think about gentleness isn't just for Sunday, but it's also for Monday. But my goal is this. I hope that you'll find the power of gentleness in your life. A kind word. Some people think that gentleness is when Bambi meets Thumper. And it isn't. Gentleness, the best way I can describe it, is strength under control. My wife was raised on the Yakima Indian Reservation out in the state of Washington. We have a couple here today, Coast Guard couple, that they're from Washington. But out there on the reservation, as they call it, they have what they call wild horses. They call them Mustangs. We were sitting at her cousin's house in their patio there, and her cousin says, "Look along the ridge." And all along the ridge, you see these wild horses. They are beautiful animals, but the problem is you can't tame them. They have strength. They run like wildfire. In fact, around her high school, they had to put cattle guards to keep the wild horses from getting on the football field. That's like a whole other way of life. And these horses, they just run wild, and you can't tame them. Really, the only thing they do with it when they get overpopulated, and I hate to say this if we have any, is they shoot them, and they make dog food out of them. So whatever you're feeding your dog, check it. And maybe some wild horses. Strength under control. These horses cannot be broken. I think a comparison to that is these beautiful thoroughbreds, or the beautiful horses they have on Mackinac Island, that you see them, and they're strong, and they're under control. That's really what gentleness is, strength under control. We were at Mackinac Island, and I'm not always sure about the bicyclists on Mackinac Island, but right there, the hill coming down to by Marquette Park there, here was where the wagons turned there. Here was somebody that was coming down the hill, couldn't stop, and ran right into the side, a lady ran right into the side of a workhorse, and the workhorse was standing like this. And here's the lady laying face down on the pavement, and she was out. And we were there with some youth, and they said, "Do you think she's dead?" And I said, I don't think she's dead, but she's definitely hurting. I mean, she wasn't under control, was she? She was coming down the hill. She couldn't brake. Runs right into the side of a workhorse. Well, the whole idea of strength under control, that's what gentleness is. I think another definition, and the one I like best, is this. It's the power of your potential under God's control. Let me say that again. It's the power of your potential. That's who you are. All the things that God has gifted you with under God's control. You see, I think each one of us have an untapped power that God has given us, especially when we come to know Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. And he gives us our gifts and the abilities he's given us. But many times, they have to be tapped into. They have to be honed. There's that potential. And God has to control those things. It's kind of like those wild horses. Now, when I was in the Army, that little phrase used to be all that you can be. Find your future in the, oh, you guys are sick. I'll try again. Be all that you can be. Find your future in the Army. Who said Navy? Yeah. See, that was what it was like when I was in the Army. You see, they took a green recruit like me, and they run you through basic training. If you've been through basic training, you've been through it. How many guys have been through basic training? Raise your hand. Yeah, is it fun? No, it's not. Well, so what do? They take a bunch of greenhorn recruits, and they make you into soldiers or Marines or sailors or Coast Guard. You know what? They do that for a purpose. They take away all your clothes, take away all your hair, take away all your dignity, and then they put into you the things they want you to be. Be all that you can be, the power of your potential under their control. But you know what? God wants that in our lives too. That kind of control that he wants to give us in our lives. So today we're going to talk about that word. We can come to God and we can be gentle people. Now we're going to look at a little acrostic that's going to help us to understand at least five aspects. The first one has to do with our personality. Every one of us has different personalities. Every one of us. Some people are shy. Some people are outgoing. Some people have all kinds of abilities, but they don't know how to put it into use. So a person who is gentle, gentle people have their personalities under God's control. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Catch that. And then he says it again, I will say it again, rejoice. That has to do with how we look at life. We can rejoice in spite of our circumstances. And then here, look at the next verse. Let your gentleness be evident to all. How can you do that? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Here's the key. The Lord is near. That means when you're in a tough situation, instead of looking always at the circumstances, you need to look up. The Lord is near. You see, the Lord can help us to have even that gentleness in our spirit, because the Lord is near. Verse 6 says this, do not be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, what should you do? By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So what is he saying here? He's saying, look up. When you're anxious, when you don't have that peace in your heart, you don't have a gentle spirit, he's saying, look up. Look to God. God is the one that can help you with that. So, we all have different personalities. We all have those problems in our lives. And we need to look up and we need to get his help. It's interesting to me that Jesus chose people to be his closest people in his ministry in the early stages who had all kinds of personalities. I wouldn't say any of them were gentle. They don't think any of them were really gentlemen. They were all fishermen, many of them, or tax collectors, or they were people that had rough spots in their life. I think of Peter. Peter, probably one of his closest allies. You know, but Peter had a problem. He talked instead of listening. He did things that other people wouldn't do. He was impulsive. He would rush into things. If you remember, he cut off servant of the high priest's ear. He He denied Jesus three times. He would jump into things. He tried to walk to Jesus until he realized he was walking on water, and he looked down. He looked away from the Lord. What an impulsive guy. I wouldn't say he was a gentle guy, but you know what? God changed him into a gentle person. He wrote 1 and 2 Peter, and you read those, and you are impressed with the gentleness of his spirit. Jesus' two other disciples that were his closest to were James and John. And these guys, the Bible describes them as sons of thunder. In other words, their spirit was that they were angry. They got angry quickly. I hear people say, that's just the way I am. I can't control my temper. I get mad. We all have flaws. If you remember their mother says to Jesus, you know what, can't you have my two boys sit, one on your right hand, one on your left? Ambitious mother. They all had their flaws, but gentle Jesus saw them with their potential, and Jesus didn't give up on them. Jesus didn't give up on them. Peter, James, John. Jesus knew the potential, and those men become really the pillar of the church. Peter, James, and John. I think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was out persecuting Christians, and then he sees that light on the road to Damascus. Paul, most of them being Saul of Tarsus, the Paul, the Apostle. I love what he writes in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm talking about the potential. Listen to this. He says, now to him, that's God, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Do you realize God can do more in a willing heart than we can even imagine? I hear people tell me their stories. Oh, I did this and all that. You realize that God can change the heart of any man, any woman, any child, any boy, any girl. He says, he who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power, that's the power that Jesus puts in us through his spirit, his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Now let me say something. That's power. That's the power to change the life. We heard of a young man yesterday that lived with us for a year, and he was in rehab. Just got out of rehab, and yesterday we found out that he tested positive on his drug test, and just threw him in jail for another year. And I'm thinking, you know what that did to us? Yeah, it just kind of like drove a stake in my heart. You know, can God get a hold of that young man's heart? Can God change his heart? Yes. If that young man is willing to come to him, if he's willing to come and make changes. You see, the Holy Spirit, that's what he's talking about here, that power, the Holy Spirit's power. You see, gentle people are people whose personalities and their characteristic traits are under God's control. That's the P. The O is this, talking about our outlook. And our outlook really is our attitude towards other people. How do I look at other people? Am I better than them? Do I look down at them? Or do I look up and say, Lord, help me know how I can minister to them? The whole idea, that attitude towards others. I love what the Apostle Paul puts in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. He says, each of you should look not only on your own interests. Where do you place most of your emphasis? Looking at your things, your family, things that you have going, but also in the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Oh my. Who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. You see what Jesus did? He came from heaven to earth. He came, left the throne room of heaven to this earth because he wanted to reach out to us. He wanted to provide a way of salvation for us. And what did Jesus do? He made himself nothing. He lowered himself to us. taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You see, what Jesus did is the example for us, not that we see ourselves as being better than somebody else, but God has us here for a reason. You see others, and you see other things in people, because our attitudes towards them, how do we look at other people? Our attitudes towards them will affect our actions towards them. Our attitude towards people will affect our actions towards people. So when our attitude is, I'm better than you, it'll affect our actions. When our actions, our attitude affects our actions, we are largely influenced by how we are, what our attitude is. So when I walk into tender care or into a hospital situation, if I feel like I'm better than somebody else, it's going to affect how I treat them. My attitude towards children, if I think of them as simply as nuisances and as you know, that'll affect my actions. So when I walk into a jail to visit with somebody, how my attitude towards them, if it is, what did you do now? What did you mess up with this time? It will affect my actions. It affects our actions towards the needy. So how do you look at other people? How do you look at other people? How do you look at the waitress in Big Boy? We were there with some people and somebody at our table. Unfortunately, he's married to a relative. That's always interesting. But he was absolutely rude to the waitress. Called her out on everything. And here I am sitting there. She knows me as Pastor Curry because I eat breakfast there quite often. And this guy is rude to the waitress. I said to her afterwards, by the way, I gave her a generous tip and I thanked her for her service. And I apologized for how he acted towards her. And she says, oh, you know what? We get a lot of rude people. We get a lot of people that come in here and they talk down to us. And I apologize to her. How do you treat them? You see, if I see myself as a humble servant, that's what Jesus is saying here, it'll affect my attitude and my actions towards others. And gentle people try to understand other people and their weaknesses and their limitations. But the W, I'm using the word words. Let me ask you this. Gentle people have their words under God's control. It blows me away the way some people talk when they get angry. It blows me away. You see, the power of words can either be destructive or they can build somebody up. You dirtbag. You no good. You know what? People, when they talk that way to their children, when they put other people down, I love what James says in James 3, 5, and 8. He says, likewise, the tongue, that's what you speak with, is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider that a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Boy, the fires out west have been horrendous, and many of them are caused by just lightning or by a careless camper. The tongue also is a fire. Catch this. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of life on fire, and it is in itself set on fire by hell. Oh my. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and creatures are set on fire, are being tamed, and have been tamed by men. But no man, and let me add there, woman, can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. No one can control the tongue by themselves. No one. And that's why it brings us to our word, that these kinds of people, they have their mouths under God's control. Gentle people, God controls their words. You know how God controls your words? You know how God does it? The first thing he does is he has to get a hold of your heart. You see, the Bible says that from the heart our mouths speak. You see, when God gets a hold of our hearts, he'll change our tongues. I remember when I worked in the factory, we had a guy that every other word could be a swear word. He was the most creative vocabulary I've ever heard. Every other word. And you know what? I used to say, you know what? If God could get a hold of that guy's mouth, if God could get a hold of that guy's mouth. And you see, the only way that God was going to get a hold of his mouth is if God could get a hold of his heart first. He must tame your heart first. Our hearts have to first be changed by God. And then God can change our actions. It's kind of like a pig. You can take a pig and you can clean it up and put perfume on it, put a cute little dress, but you put it out in the barnyard and it's heading for the mud hole. You see, that's what the Bible talks about when it says that you have to be born again. You have to have a new spirit. God changes us from the inside out. Then when God changes us, it'll change our actions. And then God will change our words also. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Listen to this. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. So whenever I hear somebody say, I just can't control my anger, things I say, I'm saying, you know what? Has your heart changed? Has your heart changed? Has your heart changed? Ephesians 4:29 says it this way, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Is every word you say a gift to somebody? Is it building somebody up? Is every word you say being helpful to somebody? I've heard people say, well, I have the gift of criticism. Is that building people up? I've heard wives say that about their husbands. Well, I have the gift of criticism. I've heard husbands say, I have the gift of sarcasm. Sarcastic words will destroy relationships. One characteristic of gentle people is that their words are under God's control. They know the power of a careless word. You know, I love sports. I love watching sports. I enjoy playing sports. And I used to say to Colin, you know what? When you knock a guy down, it's okay to help the guy up. When you knock a guy down, in football, it's okay to help him up. I think he did it twice. Anyways, I have to tell you something. About 3 weeks ago, the church that they go to in just north of Detroit, their youth pastor resigned and took another position, just a church just down the street. And the pastor called Colin in and said, we'd like you to become the interim youth pastor. And his father's going, what? And he said, you know what, you've been our youth, now working with our youth and doing a good job. And so Colin is now the interim youth pastor of his church. And I said to him, so what are you doing? He said, I've taken a week at a time. He said, I've got three other people to help me. And I'm saying, I didn't see this one coming. But anyways, God works in strange and mysterious ways. One characteristic of gentle people is that their words are under God's control. That's really leading to my next point, which is expectations, because my expectations were never that Colin would be an interim youth pastor. I said to his mother, Maxine, my wife, I said, wouldn't this be amazing if God were to lead him into being a youth pastor? I didn't see it coming. Those weren't my expectations. He's always loved business. He's always loved sports. He loves that kind of thing. You see, when someone disappoints you, are you gentle or do you get mad? Are you judgmental, the feelings of others? Are you, how do you respond to the failures of others? How do you deal with your kids when they let you down? How do you deal with your spouse? How do you deal with your friends? In our small group, and I just want to touch on this, but we've been studying the life of Elijah. You think about this. This servant of God, God gave him tremendous opportunity. He took care of 450 prophets of Baal. And you know what? He was zealous for God, and he was living for God, and then along comes a woman named Jezebel. How many of you have kids named Jezebel? Doesn't happen, does it? And you know what Elijah does? He runs for his life. Not only does he run for his life, he's hiding in a cave. God sends him to a cave and says, you wait for me there. And he's running from his life for his life. And God comes to Elijah and says, come out here. Puts him on a mountaintop. And then he shows him a windstorm and he says, I'm not in that. You know what? He shows him an earthquake and he says, I'm not in that. He shows him a fire and he says, I'm not in that. A windstorm, earthquake, fire. And finally God comes to him as a gentle whisper. A gentle, gentle whisper. Is that how you respond? Is that how you respond? Gentle whisper. That's where God is. Isn't that great? And what Elijah was expecting was a flying fist. Somebody getting mad, fighting back. God telling them off. And God comes to him as a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. That's the way it is with God. When we blow up, God isn't waiting for us with a clenched fist. He's there to say, you know, come home. I'll forgive you. You need to repent. That's what he did with the prodigal. He said, you know what? Come home. Come home. Come home. And the longing, loving father, the gentle father was there to receive him. And God wants us to run to him, not against him, not away from him. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 says this. Be completely humble. Here's our word. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. What do you like in your home? What do you like with your kids? Kids, what do you like with your parents? What do you like with your spouse, with your friends? When someone doesn't meet your expectations, what do you like? When someone doesn't meet your standards? Or are you gentle, like a gentle whisper, a gentle word? Are you gentle? See, people of God should be gentle. Gentle people have their expectations under God's control. The R, let's get to that. Gentle people are proactive, not reactive in regards to our response. You know how proactive people are? Proactive people, that means that you are able to control your response. You're able to control with God's power in your life. Proactive people are able to have God in control. And reactive people, all they do is they react. They react on their feelings. They react on their circumstances. You made me angry. I hear that. You made me mad. And actually, the truth is, you choose to get mad. Proverbs 16:32. I've been in the book of Proverbs for several months now, my Bible study. It says, it is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to have self-control than to conquer cities. You see, I want to challenge you, men. I want to challenge you, men, to be in control. Allow God to control your responses. I want to challenge you, women, to not be angry, not to hold it in, but to seek God's power in your life to make you a gentle person. I want to challenge kids and teenagers to become that kind of a child that realizes that God is in control and he wants us to be gentle. I had a hard time with Colin because he was big and strong and powerful, and I used to play basketball with him in the driveway, and I used to be kind of rough with him. I'd hit him with my hip, and I'd teach him how to box out, and not to use his elbows, but use his arms. And then all of a sudden, I realized that he was doing that. And next thing, I was on my backside, and he was standing there looking at me like, you know. And I had to say, you know, son, that wasn't very gentle. Help me up. Pull me up. And then he'd knock me down again sometimes. Be gentle. So how do proactive people handle things? I think you have to understand, first of all, the problem, what's going on, and understand other people and understand where they're coming from. And then look at what you can do to help them. Gentle people are helpers. And don't overreact. Proverbs 15:12 says this, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly." So try to listen, to understand situations where someone is coming from. Here's our sentence again. Gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. And that's not for wimps. That's for strong people. And until you tap into the power of God, until God gets a hold of your life and begins to change you into the kind of person that he wants you to be, you're never going to understand that. Gentleness is power of your potential under God's control. But it's probably not going to score the Lions many points tomorrow night. But you know what? It's going to help you. It'll help you. If you want to change somebody else, you've got to change yourself first. Become that kind of person that God wants you to be. So you need to allow God to work in your life, to control your mouth, control your actions, to make you into the person that he wants you to be. Do you want that in your life? It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you committed your heart and life to Christ? If you've never done that, today can be the day that you do that. Commit your life to him. And then every day, allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to come into your life and to change you into the kind of person he wants you to be. Gentleness. What a tough one, but a great one. The power of your potential under God's control. Let's pray. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as Savior and as Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would want to make that profession of faith, that they know you, they want to know you. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's walked away from you, that's walked far away from you, they need to come home to you, much like the prodigal. Just come to you and say, "Lord, please forgive me." You tell us that you will gently restore us. We pray for that gentleness in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We sure love you. Lord, help us to have that kind of strength, the power of your potential in our lives today. Maybe you feel like that the chains of all the mistakes you've made in your life have just got you all bound up, and you don't know how to take the next step. This song says it's God's grace that saves us. It's God's grace that keeps us. Those chains can be broken by the power of your Holy Spirit. So I pray today, if there's somebody here that needs the power of God in their life, that they will acknowledge the fact that they need you, and they'll be willing to turn from their sin and accept you as their Savior and as their Lord. That's my prayer today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.